Well, you've got to be optimistic if you're a salesman, that's for sure. And in fact, Roosevelt is right. $25 billion in the last housing bill went directly to the auto companies. So there's been a bailout for them as well. But the issue really is, can Washington deal with Main Street? The version that the Senate passed last night of the so-called bailout, the so-called rescue plan, is on its way to the House, where Democratic Congressman Maurice Hinchey will get a chance to vote on it. He's from New York's 22nd Congressional District. He voted against the bill on Monday. Congressman Hinchey, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
First of all, why did you vote against on Monday, and what could possibly be in the Senate bill that would attract you to vote the other way on Friday?
Well, the amount of the authorization appropriation, $700 billion, is much too high. You're authorizing this to be dealt with by an administration who's going to be in office for a little more than 3.5 months. And that appropriation of $700 billion is going to effectively authorize the increase in the national debt to above $11 trillion, $11.3 trillion. We've already seen the national debt over the course of the last less than 8 years almost double as a result of the fiscal policies of this administration, the borrow and spend policies of this administration.
Congressman, I'm hearing a no vote.
In order to engage in spending.
I'm hearing a no vote from you.
You're hearing a no vote last week and earlier this week.
I mean, they're going to spend more on this bill. They've added spending. They haven't subtracted. So you've got to vote no on Friday then.
Well, some of the addition of spending that they put in the Senate bill is positive, and some of that additional spending will probably also have in positive impacts on the economy. The most important thing that we're experiencing now, we just heard the gentleman, the car salesman.
Yeah, Roosevelt in Detroit, sure.
Yeah, talking about how interest rates are going down and how his sales have not dropped off dramatically and how they're improving, and all of that done before the passage of that bill last night. But there are certain provisions in that bill that was passed in the Senate which are going to attempt to deal very, very modestly, unfortunately, with trying to improve the economy in a real way. Look what's been happening to this economy. Just over the course of the last 8 months, we've lost more than 600,000 jobs. In the month of August alone, we lost more than 84,000 jobs. More than 60,000 of those jobs were manufacturing jobs. That's the main problem that we have. We have a problem here of an administration that has refused to invest in the internal economy of our country while it wastes huge amount of money in other areas, particularly like Iraq, continuing to spend between $10 and $12 billion a month in Iraq in a very wasteful way.
Let me ask you this, Congressman. Where is that line between holding the administration accountable, holding the leaders of Wall Street accountable, but also restoring some sense of confidence in the marketplace, not only for American consumers, but also for the global markets?
Well, I think that line with regard to this bailout bill is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $150 billion. If we were to pass a piece of legislation or bring up a piece of legislation that would authorize the expenditure of less than half of $700 billion, $150 billion of which would be focused on this issue over the course of the next 3.5 months, then I think that makes sense, particularly if you incorporate within that some internal spending that is going to deal with the failure of the basic infrastructure
right, well,
of this country.
Let's take that apart.
The infrastructure and
Congressman, let's specifically take that apart. Did you vote for or against the housing bill last July, which was $330 billion?
The housing bill?
Yeah.
The housing bill is an internal investment in our country.
Congressman, I asked, did you vote yes or no?
I'm telling you that I voted yes, but
okay.
It's an important bill for
fine.
Internal investment. That's
how
what
come,
we need.
How come $330 billion is fine, but anything over $150 billion today when the markets and the crisis is much worse is suddenly way too much?
Well, the crisis isn't much worse. You heard the discussion about the market dropping to record numbers. All right, yes, it dropped by 777 points.
Actually, I'm not so concerned about the market. I'm concerned about bank failures and the fact that people like Roosevelt can't get credit and that businesses can't finance their payroll.
Okay. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
So how
are you going to allow me to answer your question?
No, I want to know how this bill addresses that because it really, I don't see that. Okay, go ahead.
I'm trying to tell you that.
Go ahead.
In order to address the bill, you have to understand the problem. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I really want to know what's in the bill that's going to address these things.
If you need to understand the problem, then you need to understand the impact that it's had on the market. The impact that it's had on the market was a falling of about 7%. That falling now has gone up, so it's down about something in the neighborhood of 2 to 3%. If you go back to 1987 and look at the savings and loan crisis, you see how the market fell by 23%, more than three times what it fell earlier this week.
I understand all that.
So you have to understand that this is not the most serious fall in the history of the country since the Great Depression, which is what some people have been saying.
You have to
understand the facts.
What is in the Senate bill that's going to address this infrastructure problem that you've talked about for the last 5 minutes?
Well, it was just what was mentioned a couple of minutes ago by Adora.
So you don't know what it is?
It has to do with some internal investments in the country, but it doesn't deal with
Congressman. The Senate bill has tax credits in there, and it has an increase in the insurance for the FDIC. That's it. How does that invest in infrastructure?
Well, that's what it does. By providing some tax credits, and it also focuses some of those tax credits on alternative energy, which is a positive internal investment, and the increase in protection for savings is somewhat helpful. But the fact of the matter is that it still provides for $700 billion of expenditure, which jacks up the national debt, as I said, to $11.3 trillion.
In your estimation,
which doesn't focus attention on the internal domestic needs of the country, which are causing the economic problems that we're facing.
So you're voting no?
It depends on what our bill is going to look at. I don't think that the Senate bill improves the situation enough, frankly. I don't think it's addressed the situation adequately.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to there. But thank you very much. Sorry being tough on you there, but I really wanted to get the facts out of the Senate bill. The Democratic Congressman Maurice Hinchey, New York's 22nd congressional district representative, voted against the bailout bill on Monday, and it looks like he's going to vote against it on Friday, Adora.
It's going to be an interesting day because the House has a real tough conundrum on their hands, which is so many people believe that something must be done. It's a question of what, and the clock is ticking.
The markets are
watching, not just here in the U.S., but all over the world.
Do you think the markets and Congress are irrational? If so, tell us your irrationality story. Have you been rewarded or punished for irrationality? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Also, if you could ask a question at the debate tonight, Palin versus Biden, what would it be?
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.